From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 13th day of September 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. In fact, Wayne will join us tonight at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Building. That's on the west side of Champaign, Illinois, on Country Fair Drive. That's the U of I Extension Building as well. But at 7 o'clock, he'll be there along with Joe Camp and Kurt Kimmel and Greg Johnson for one of our Will Ag panels, so you can come out too, 7 a.m. tonight. Later in this program, not only will we hear from Wayne, but we'll talk with Stephen Platt, who's at Archer Financial Services. He'll help us take a look at the energy markets across the planet. We'll close out the half hour, as usual, by looking at the weather forecast too. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here. Oh, and we'll hear about the WTO complaint the USA has lodged against Chinese corn, wheat, and rice subsidies right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, corn futures finished a dime lower in the lead September, $3.92 and a quarter. December down 9 and a half at $3.30. September beans down 16 and a quarter at $9.68 and a quarter. November at $9.44, 20 and a quarter lower. The soft red July down 8 and a half in the wheat pit at $4.46 and a half, and the hard red down 7 and a half at $4.52 and a quarter. Live cattle futures finished the nearby $1.25 lower at $104.45. That's the October contract. October feeders at $130.55, down $1.75. And October lean hogs today at $2.37.5, lowering its lead option at $57.05. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us on the air now. And we'll be here in Champaign County tonight at the Farm Bureau Building for a Will Ag panel that will include not only Wayne, but Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and Joe Camp from AgriVisor. That starts at 7 o'clock. It's open. You can come if you'd like tonight at the Farm Bureau Building in Champaign County. That's out on the west side of Champaign, Illinois. Wayne, I'm looking forward to having you here.
Yeah, we're going to get a wide diversity of what they're looking at, a lot of things, and it's going to be a real good outlook for all the farmers and people that own farms and grain marketing to come listen and see what their thoughts are, because a lot of stuff to talk about after yesterday's report and a few announcements today.
Yeah, so we have announcements today, yesterday's report to deal with. We can do all of that tonight. We'll do it here on the program. But again, that's at 7 o'clock tonight at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Building. That's the U of I Extension Building as well, out on the west side of Champaign on Country Fair Drive. Starts at 7, open, free. Everybody is certainly welcome. And the Champaign County Farm Marketing Club is the sponsor, along with U of I Extension. Now, what is the reason that the market decided to tank in corn and soybeans today?
Well, I think there was three or four reasons, Todd. Yesterday's report, of course, gave us confirmation of some very big yields, some very big carryouts. Some of the early yields, especially in the beans, have been especially good. You know, we've seen 60 to 80 bushel beans over here. Not a lot done, but, you know, a real big number there. We saw the weather took a little of the wetness out for next week, which is maybe going to let us get back in the field and do some things. And I think that's, one of the big things. The other thing was the news today that U.S. is launching a challenge to China's supports for domestic production to the World Trade Organization. And that, of course, any little skirmish with China, our biggest customer in buying beans, is something that doesn't look good on the ag front.
Yeah, that probably scared traders a bit. We'll hear more about that in the news segment. Let's go through some of the numbers from USDA yesterday. Just to kind of recap, they now say that ending stocks for the marketing year just ended, or for the 2015 crop, for the ending stocks are up 10 million from their previous estimate at 1.7. That's a pretty good size ending stock. They did lower the soybeans, and this was on exports to China mostly by 60 million bushels, down to 195 on the carryout. However, when you turn that around and put the size of the soybean crop that is being harvested, and you talked about those big numbers already for yields, 365 million bushels for the carryout. Yeah, so by comparison to 195 for the current year, next year by the fall, they think 365. And that's 35 million bushels more than they were expecting last month, but all based on that really big crop production number, 50.6 bushels to the acre nationwide. That's one big yield, a record breaker, in fact, for both production and yield in the soybeans. Just a big number to have to deal with, and we'll need China and everybody else on board to take some of this crop, I would think.
Yeah, and on top of that, after the close yesterday, the FSA came out, and it looks like they'll probably be adding some acreage to corn, beans, and wheat for what their numbers were looking at. So, you know, that's going to actually increase the production number if we add more acres to it. So that on top of it all left for some things. We saw a couple of the advisory firms that actually sold some beans on the close today. When after they broke through 950 on a closing basis, they increased their coverage another 20% on some of the advisory firms when they were looking at it like that. So it's going to take some real yields that maybe aren't quite as good to probably get this market to rally back. We are hearing of some damage corn in some of the places and some damaged beans down in Arkansas and Mississippi where all the water has been standing. But all in all, the yields have still been the bean yield's been exceptionally good, and the corn yields, we haven't heard a whole lot of them yet. What's been out there has been good but not great.
Just opening up, I think, some of the corn. But harvest should begin really in earnest probably next week, I would think, across a good portion of the United States.
Yeah, I think that a lot of this corn is getting to the point where the farmers are going to be rolling pretty hard to come first of the week. In some areas where it dries out a little bit, and other areas I think it'll just be that the corn's going to get under 20% and away we'll go.
Any of the outside markets or the livestock that you've been watching?
Oh, the outside markets. The dollar has been extremely strong today. It's up about half a point. The livestock took it on the year along with all the rest of the stuff. The S&P's down 3,200 points. You know, there wasn't anything that really looked good. And then the assessment of the crude oil use for next year is that they're saying that it's going to be reduced because of Asia's sort of setback in their economy and the way things are going too. So a little overproduction of oil and a lot of grain.
All right. Well, we'll talk with you more tonight at the Champaign County Farm Bureau. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Oh, we'll have fun.
All right. Hey, that's so much. That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll be right here in town tonight at 7 o'clock at the Champaign County Farm Bureau U of I Extension Building. That's out on Country Fair Drive, just as you drop into the city off of Interstate 72. So you can come and join us. That's free and open to everybody. Wayne will be there along with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Joe Camp, who's with AgriVisor, and from the Andersons, Greg Johnson. In today's agricultural news, the Obama administration has filed a complaint alleging China has broken its WTO commitments for rice, wheat, and corn. The complaint challenges China's use of market price supports for the three crops. China, like the other nations signing on to the WTO, agreed to limit certain types of farm subsidies. The United States believes China surpassed the agreed-upon amounts by more than $100 billion in 2015. USDA claims China's excessive market price support for rice, wheat, and corn inflates Chinese prices above market levels, creating artificial government incentives for Chinese farmers to increase production. These programs distort Chinese prices, undercut American farmers, and clearly break the limits China committed to when they joined the WTO, said U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman this morning, noting China had gone from a $2 billion a year market for U.S. agricultural products to a $20 billion-plus market. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack today said he believes U.S. farmers could do even better if U.S. grain exports could compete in China on a level playing field. Unfortunately, he says, Chinese price supports have encouraged wheat, corn, and rice production, displacing that possibility. According to USTR's analysis, China appears to provide agricultural domestic support for long and short grain rice, wheat, and corn in excess of its aggregate measurement of support, or AMS, commitments under the WTO agreement on agriculture. China announces on an annual basis the minimum prices at which the government will purchase these crops in the major producing provinces during the harvest season. Through this program, China has maintained domestic prices at levels above the world market since 2012. Well, let's stay in Washington, D.C. I told you yesterday, maybe last week as well, that Congress, of course, is back in session and that the lobbyists have come back into the city in force. That's true. Some of them, of course, are looking up Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to talk about the future of the Farm Bill. Some farmers did catch up with him this week, and they wanted to talk about a really old farm program. Gary Crawford has more from USDA.
A request from one farmer to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
Please reconsider or just take the time and brush the dust off of the farmer-owned grain reserve program.
Which began in 1977, ended in 1996. It was a program that was supposed to smooth out the ups and downs in grain prices by controlling how much grain could come out of storage and into the market. A program Vilsack referred to as a
radically old idea.
But he didn't totally dismiss it.
You know, it may be time for that kind of conversation to take place. And you need to, you know, as they deal with the next farm bill, that needs to be part of the conversation. All of the reforms that you think are necessary need to be put on the table. And there needs to be a robust conversation about all of this, with the understanding that you don't start the conversation with, golly, how much money can we save? How much money can we squeeze?
He wants to start it with what is the need, not how much we can save. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
And this final agricultural news story for the afternoon, another poll shows the American public generally favors trade and globalization despite congressional resistance to taking up a huge Pacific trade deal right after the election. 65% of Americans, including 74% of Democrats, say globalization is mostly good for the U.S., while just under 60% of Republicans say the same. The numbers were similar, though slightly less, for the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. Why then, you might ask, the resistance from the congressional leaders to take up the TPP in a lame duck session? That's what American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore has been thinking about.
I know what the polls are saying, or I know what the surveys are saying, but I'm still hearing a lot from those folks who are really upset about this agreement. Or, you know, from a political standpoint, I've got to play my cards just right because I may be fully supportive on the one hand of the policy, but on the other hand, the politics, you know, I'm working to protect myself back home.
Where some industries may support TPP, others may have some concerns, and Moore says leadership also is looking at the schedule.
The leadership is also looking at the fact that I've got a fairly long list to fit into a fairly short bucket of time that we're going to have to deal with. And part of that, too, is, you know, what the outcomes of the election.
With that as the political backdrop, Farm Bureau is trying to change the dynamic for the lame duck session. Before that can happen, the House and Senate leadership have to make a 180-degree turn and decide to take up the TPP. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 87% of the corn crop has dented, 33% of the crop is mature. Normally, that's 32% on the rolling five-year average. 5% has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 7%. Soybeans dropping leaves now set at 26%. The five-year average is 25%. The condition of that crop, 55% good, 18% excellent. That's the same as last week. Here's an update from Illinois and Iowa.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician. Iowa's wettest week of the year with especially heavy rains in northern Iowa, limited field work during the week ending September 11, 2016. Activities for the week including chopping corn for silage, seed corn harvest, and cutting hay. 90% of the corn crop reached the dent stage or beyond, 5 days ahead of the five-year average. 29% of corn had reached maturity, 3 days ahead of last year, but 1 day behind normal. Corn crop condition was rated 83% good to excellent, although there were some reports of stock rot. 62% of soybeans have started to turn color, 2 days ahead of last year's pace, with 19% dropping leaves. Soybean crop condition was rated 82% good to excellent, although there were reports of stress from excessive moisture. The third cutting of alfalfa hay was 91% complete, 2 weeks ahead of last year. Producers in several parts of the state have been working on a fourth cutting of hay. Livestock conditions were reported as excellent, although there were a few reports of muddy feedlots. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending September 11, 2016.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Wet weather slowed field work last week as crops continued to mature. All parts of the state had above average precipitation, and the state averaged nearly 2 inches for the week, 1.3 inches above normal. Temperatures ranged from 4 degrees above normal to nearly 6 degrees above normal. Corn harvest advanced 2 points and is now 3% complete, compared to 5% 1 year ago and 7% for the 5-year average. 42% of corn acres are mature and 91% of acres have reached the dent stage. The condition of the corn crop is now rated 3% very poor to poor, 12% fair, and 85% good to excellent, nearly the same as 1 week ago. For soybeans, 50% of acres are now turning color, compared to 55% 1 year ago and 49% normally. 14% of acres are dropping leaves, compared to 26% last year and 18% normally. The condition of the crop is rated 6% very poor to poor, 15% fair, and 79% good to excellent, the same as 1 week ago. In other crops, 83% of sorghum acres are turning color, and 36% of acres are mature. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks, of course, go to the folks at the National Agricultural Statistics Service for their work each and every week to keep us updated on what the crop progress is like across the Midwest. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energy markets. We're joined by Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Steve. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's start our discussion by taking a look at supply and demand for crude oil and its derivatives. What's it look like across the United States?
Not only United States, but globally. This past week, we did see the U.S. stock report show a rather substantial decline in crude inventories. In fact, the second largest decline on record. That was influenced by certainly weather factors, but on the other hand, we are still focusing on the negatives in terms of the demand side and economic growth globally, which is tending to limit the expansion in demand. I think overall, though, we're still on a path that does provide some underlying support to the market. In terms of the demand possibly expanding in some of the lesser developed countries, but also I think in terms of the U.S., we have seen some significant signs that demand is on a positive growth path as well.
What kind of signs are you talking about in the U.S. economy that show you that? Are we driving more miles? Are there...
Certainly, the numbers that we've seen in terms of last week's report was rather substantial on the gasoline side, and they do provide those numbers on a weekly basis, and the ones that we saw last week were on the order of as much as 5%. Certainly, we're not going to continue to show those kinds of gains, but gains on the order of 3%, reflecting an expansion in incomes and in terms of the American consumer, I think more and more is going to be the norm rather than the abnormal here.
Can you discuss for just a bit the supply side at the marketplace, please?
Certainly, we are looking very closely at the events at the end of this month in which non-OPEC consumers, along with producers and OPEC itself, will be getting together in Algeria. The talk is that Russia, Iran, and Saudi Arabia are trying to come to terms with a production curb agreement. I think there's a very strong possibility, despite many people being very skeptical, that that will happen. Iranian production has tended to top out following the sanctions. Saudi Arabia is certainly under the gun in terms of budget deficits, and Russia possibly would be having a somewhat of a field day in terms of having an influence on these talks and greater impact on Mideast diplomacy if they were able to get an agreement together. So I do think there is some possibility that that kind of production curb might occur during that meeting at the end of this month, or maybe at the general OPEC meeting in December.
Hey, thanks so much, Steve. We appreciate you being with us. That, of course, is Stephen Platt from Archer Financial Services.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Please do take time tonight to come to the Champaign County Farm Bureau building. I've already told you we'll be there with a panel of analysts that includes Joe Camp and Kurt Kimmel, along with Wayne Nelson and Greg Johnson. Should be a good hour and a half question and answer session about the commodity markets. Great time to get yourself primed as you're headed into the harvest season and before you really get into the combines. That starts at 7 p.m. Central Time tonight, Champaign County Farm Bureau building. That's out on the west side of Champaign, Illinois. It's also the U of I Extension building right there on Country Fair Drive. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. What a gorgeous day again in the Midwest. Don, thank you for being with us today.
Pleasure to be here. Yeah, it is a beautiful day. It's been a September so far that has been just, well, September. It's not thrown any major curveballs, and as we look ahead to the next week or 10 days, average is the best way to describe what's coming. We are going to be a little bit above average temperature-wise here over the next 5 days, but as we get into next week, we'll cool off a bit, but nothing that's going to be dramatic. All the real cold, stormy weather is going to stay off to our north and west for a little bit longer.
Any need to worry about precipitation?
Well, there is going to be a little bit. Now, as we get into especially the southern and western areas, we look at Iowa, we look at Nebraska, Missouri, north into Minnesota, some of the northern plains and western Corn Belt. I do see some chances for shower and thunderstorm activity at times. Not going to be excessive, but those are the areas that are likely going to be the most wet. Other areas looking at average precipitation.
Anything around the planet that you've been watching closely? I know last week they came out with a La Nina forecast, and we've been watching, of course, Chinese weather for their harvest and the beginning of the planting season in South America.
Well, let's first of all go to South America. They last time we talked, they were pretty dry, and that trend is going to continue. While there is going to be a little bit of some precipitation across portions of Argentina, overall, there's not much help from Mother Nature in terms of the planting season, in terms of giving them some good spring moisture, at least here over the next week to 10 days. If we go over to China, take a look at the forecast there. It looks pretty wet. The next week or so is going to be wet across most of the growing areas of China.
Hey, thanks so much for taking time today.
Thank you.
Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.